Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
There's always, I want to start with this. God always offers choices. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, that's the way God does things. In Deuteronomy 30th chapter, Joshua's talking to the people. And he said, I call heaven to earth. I think it's John, it might have been Moses. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him. For he's your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. God gave them a choice. He said, I will give you life or death. You choose life, but it's a choice. And God always gives choices. I've heard people say, well, God just made me do something. God isn't going to make you do something. God gives choices. Here's the next verse. And this is New Testament. This is Jesus talking. Book of Revelation. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. You understand the Lord didn't say, I stand at the door, and if you don't open it, I'm busting it down and coming in. He doesn't do that way. He doesn't operate that way. He stands at the door and knocks. And so if you open the door to him, he comes in. When you got saved is when you opened the door to him. He was there all the time. But when you opened the door is when he became into your life. I've asked this before. How many of you heard the gospel? You heard about Jesus. You heard about salvation before you ever received it. Maybe it was a long time before you ever received it. And when you did, you all, man, I wish I had opened the door earlier. And so opening the door is something that God always chooses. Something we always choose. And then as soon as we do, God opens. He comes in. So that's the good news. God's not going to make you do something. People say, well, God, if God gets in his mind, he's going to make you do something, you're going to do it. No, that is not the truth. Because if that's the case, he would make a lot of us act nicer. Just a thought. There are three baptisms. We're going to go through some doctrinal things tonight, just some teaching things. Three baptisms. First is the baptism into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12th chapter, verse 13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. This is something that is done for you when you make Jesus your Lord. You're baptized into the body of Christ. Alan, how does that happen? I have no idea. I just believe it does. This is something God does. This is something the Spirit does. So when you receive the Lord, you are baptized. How many of you know that you're part of the body of Christ? Now, you got to be part of the body of Christ because you got baptized into the body of Christ. So that's one baptism. Second baptism is something you choose to do, and it's baptism of water. Now, this is, again, Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 19. Go therefore, this is Jesus talking, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism in water is something that you do. That's something you choose to do. It's something that you do as a witness. It's a testimony that you are being identified with Christ. I'm buried with him in baptism. I am risen with him to the newness of life. That's what it signifies. Now, I've heard people very concerned sometimes because maybe they've had loved ones who made Jesus their Lord but didn't get baptized and died. And they're thinking, oh, they didn't get baptized. You know, they're not saved. No. Salvation is a heart thing. It's a spirit thing. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're saved. Amen. You confess. That's it. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to clean your life up. You don't have to join a church. Now, baptism is a great step of obedience. It's something I would encourage all of you to do. I got baptized when I was 9 years old the first time. Well, I got baptized again. You say, well, Alan, you shouldn't get baptized again. Yes, you can. I wasn't doing it because I was saved again. I was doing it because I'd come back to the Lord and I wanted to make that an obedience thing to him. Plus, it sets a landmark in your life. It's a landmark. So, in other words, you never forget being baptized. We say, well, I can baptize myself. No, you can't. That's a bath. You can't do that. Baptism is something you have someone else do. It is the witness that you're identifying with Christ. If you've never been baptized, or maybe you're like I was and you've come back to the Lord later on in life and you realize, I'd like to get baptized again, there is no problem. Funniest letter I ever got was someone say, getting baptized again is like getting circumcised again. No, it's not. I don't know where in the world they came up with that stuff. That's crazy. And I'm not doing it. So it's... But that's baptism. There's the third baptism. This is what Jesus talked about. This is what all four Gospels mention. Mark, the first chapter, verse 7. And he preached saying, there come... This is actually John the Baptist. And he preached saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed... This is John speaking. He said, I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, who is right? Because water is one thing, but the word baptism means simply to be immersed. And so John is talking. John had some real revelation. He said, I'm going to baptize you with water. There's coming one. He was talking about Jesus. He said, Jesus will immerse you in the Holy Spirit. Listen, guys, I gotta share this. If you've never been open to this, I encourage you, open your heart to it, because we're talking about being immersed in the very same Spirit that was on Jesus. We're talking about being immersed in the very same Spirit that was on Peter and Paul and John and all the apostles. We're talking about the power of God that can absolutely revolutionize your life. It can change it. It can, because what you're being immersed in is that it's the third person of the Godhead, and it's wonderful. Now, okay, now here's what happens is people say, well, Alan, I'm born again. I got the Holy Spirit. Yes, you do. You sure do. You've been, in fact, Ephesians says, and I'm just going to read it. It's not on the screen. Ephesians, the first chapter. And it says, the pastor can find it in his Bible, in him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When you made Jesus your Lord, you were born of the Spirit and you were sealed with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you right now. So don't, I've heard people say, Alan said, if you're not baptized in the Spirit, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Don't you dare say, I'm not saying that. That's wrong. You are born of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's the Holy Spirit that witnesses to you that you're a child of God. When you say, you know, I'm a child of God, you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you going, mm-hmm, that's right, you are a child of God. So you're sealed with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's in you. So everyone, you heard me clearly on that, right? Because I know there's some groups that said, well, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, then you're not even born again. Wrong. That's error. Incorrect. Boy, y'all got quiet. So you're strong on this. Yeah, because people get talked out of things. Because someone said, well, you didn't... I've heard people say, well, you didn't get baptized in our church. You're not saved. I'm going to put that in the same category as getting double circumcised. You don't have to get baptized in someone's church. That frustrates me sometimes. Some of the stuff that people come up with. So I'm telling you today, if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and he will help you and guide you and teach you and be a blessing in your life. You say, well, then why would I want to be baptized in it? I don't know. Do you want to drive a 4-cylinder car or an 8-cylinder car? Do you need more power in your life? And this is what he's talking. Now, here's another thing. Here's another thing. You say, well, Alan, if I have the Holy Spirit, why is there more of the Holy Spirit? Okay, so I'm going to do my water example. You ready? I've done this before, but I think it makes sense. If I take this bottle of water and I drink it, where's that water? It's in me. Do I need to do that again? Was that a trick question? Okay, let's try this one more time. Where's the water? It's in me. But what if I do this? It's on me. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit on you. Mm-hmm. Same Spirit, different dimension. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And it's now on the floor, but that's not what but that's not what happened. So just so we have a distinction with that, day of Pentecost. Well, actually, Jesus' last instructions. He's talking to his disciples. And these are the guys he's worked with for years. These are the guys who followed him. These are the guys who he is tasked with beginning to spread the gospel of what he's done to spread that. And he says in Acts, the first chapter, book of Acts, "And being assembled together with them, the disciples, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which," he said, "you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water," this is, "but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" I had to frustrate Jesus because they kept waiting for him to restore the kingdom. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know," this is above your pay grade, "it is not for you to know times or the seasons which the Father has put into his own authority, but you shall receive," what? "Power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So he commanded them to wait for the promise of the Father, that the comparison between water baptism and the Holy Spirit baptism, baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit, immersed, he shall you receive power, and the power is to be a witness of Jesus, a better witness. Now, some people think that's the power to go witnessing. No, you can go witnessing without the power, but the power to be a witness so that your life becomes even more of a witness of the fact that Jesus is alive and he's very much real. And so what happens is a lot of times people, they've never read the Bible, but they can look at your life and they can look at my life. I know this. If the apostles, the guys that walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, if they needed power, Alan needs power. If these guys who knew Jesus personally, they sat with him, they ate with him, they talked with him, and he said, "Don't leave." He said, "Don't leave Jerusalem until you have power." And so that was important then. Now, a lot of people say, well, Alan, that passed away. I'll talk about that next week, but it didn't. It did not pass away. Listen, guys, we still need power. There are more people on the earth now than there ever have been. And we still need power to reach them. And we still need the ability to reach them. And so this is what Jesus was talking about. Now, when did the Holy Spirit come? Day of Pentecost. Pentecost was actually a Jewish feast. It was 50 days after Passover. Jews from all over the world were gathered in Jerusalem. And the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit is found in Acts chapter 2. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So this is the initial when the Holy Spirit came in. It said it came in with a rushing mighty wind. So, it could have sounded like a hurricane hit that place because people from all over gathered because of it. But it's interesting what happened here. It was not just for the 11 apostles. There were 120 people in that room, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was in there. If you read Acts chapter 1, it says Mary. So you had a mixed crowd of women there. You had men there. You had all ages there. Not everyone was an apostle there. And the Spirit of God came and fell on all of them, which is wonderful to know that. Aren't you glad that the gift of the Holy Spirit is not just for preachers? It's not just for people who have special callings. It was for anyone that's open and willing and a believer and someone for Christ. And so that, it's not limited to age. And so they all spilled out into the street, and people began to gather. And they said that, they heard, people said, we hear them speaking in our language. If you count up, there's about 16 different languages that they heard them speaking in. And they thought, some people said, "Well, these people are drunk." And Peter stood up and preached. He said, "No, they're not drunk." And he began to connect what had just happened with what the prophet said. So this is Acts chapter 2. This is Peter preaching. He said, "It shall come to pass in the last days," says God, "that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Notice the groups, all flesh, young, old, men, women. Aren't you glad God is not into ageism, or He's not limited to gender? He can work with all. And He poured out His Spirit on all of them, and they poured out. And so Peter began to preach. He said, this is what God was doing. And he began to preach Jesus to them. And then the people began, man, the Bible said that the Holy Spirit's the one. Remember, He said He will convince us of sin. He convinced a whole lot of people, and they were cut to the heart. They said, "Peter, what do we do?" And Peter gave them these instructions. Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, is a gift. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." I remember years ago, my mother was very hungry for God. And we were in a Baptist church. Loved the Baptist. I appreciate them. I came to know Jesus in a Baptist church. I appreciate their preaching on salvation. But in the 70s, there was a move of God. And it really was a move that covered denominations. It covered all ages. It covered all races. It was called the Charismatic Movement. It started in the late 60s, and it took off in the 70s, and people from all denominations were getting filled with the Spirit. My mother was hungry for God. My mother had dealt with clinical depression, and and she knew she needed God in a big way. And so she really began to seek, and the Lord baptized her, filled her with the Holy Spirit, which was great. It really, it helped her. It strengthened her. It made a difference in her life. And then she began to share it with the girls in her Baptist Sunday school class. She had a junior high group of girls, and she started sharing it with them. And they started getting filled with the Spirit, and that didn't go over too big. In fact, we were asked to leave that church. And so that was some of my first experience. But I remember thinking, that's real. I'd seen both sides of it, and I thought, that's real. Some of you remember a move. It was called the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association. It sprung up right out of that, and my mom would take us to these meetings on Saturday night. And there's all these people, these businessmen who have gotten filled with the Spirit. And I remember the first time we walked in, somebody grabbed my dad and hugged him. I don't know what it is about charismatics. We feel like we got to hug everybody. And hugged him, and that just kind of threw my dad for a loop. But I remember as a young child, I remember going, oh my, that's real. So when I came back to the Lord, I thought, I want what mom's got. So I was selling books door to door for a company called Southwestern Book Sales. They would take college students. I was right out of my freshman year of college. And I hit a Pentecostal family. They were, if some of you who don't understand, there's different branches of Pentecostals, but these were the branches where the women wore the long dresses and no makeup, and the men were dressed to the nines. And here I was, I think I had a pair of shorts on and a hat, and I invited myself to their meeting. They didn't really want to take me. They took me and left me. And it was a Pentecost. I'd never been in a Pentecostal meeting in my life. And man, they invited me there. And after the end, they said, anybody wants to get, and it wasn't the Holy Spirit then. These guys, it was the Holy Ghost. anybody want the Holy Ghost? Well, that's kind of spooky. I like, you know, the Holy, I'm thinking ghosts. But I've already seen what Mama had, and I'm like, okay, Mom's got this. This is real. So they asked me to come down to the front, and I came down to the front after everyone was over, kneeled down on a hard cement thing. They said, son, just lift your arms and ask for the Holy Spirit. So I did. And they put the hold on people with me first. These are the people lay hands on me. They said, you just got to hold on. So I'm like, what am I holding on to? And then after the hold on people didn't work, the let go people came. So now I was to let go of whatever I was initially holding on to. And I remember being so disappointed when I left because I didn't receive the gift. And so next week I'll finish telling you the rest of the story. Pentecost was not a one-time event. We'll show you some other scriptures in the Bible. But like I said, next week we'll conclude our whole series on the Holy Spirit, and then we'll stay at the end for those of you who'd like to receive. But if you've never been open to that, I hope you are. Now, if you're like, oh, I don't want it, I never did like it, you don't need to worry. It will not happen to you because remember what I said at the beginning? God gives us what?
Choice.
So you choose. You can just lock your hands and go, I don't want it. You won't get it. And that's okay. And listen, at this church, we're big enough to love everybody. Well, you don't have to come in here and get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with tongues for us to love you or think that you're wonderful. We love everybody. Everybody is welcome. This is the big church. We're not narrow-minded. We're not that narrow. We got a lot of people here who's like, no, don't want it. Well, you're good, but keep on coming anyway. Keep on serving. Keep on loving Jesus. Keep on being good. Is that good enough? Would you bow your heads with me just for a second? Most important thing is, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life, that's where it starts. If you've never made Him the Lord, never made Him your Savior, we're gonna say a prayer here in just a second. Or maybe you're like I was. You'd come to the Lord and then you got away from Him and you know it and He knows it. And you're thinking to yourself, man, I don't want to live here. I want to have that relationship with the Lord. I want that relationship again. We're going to say a prayer and you can join us in this prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I can't see if you're online, but if you're here and you say, Alan, I don't know the Lord, like, oh, I'm not sure, or I want to come back to Him, would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up just real quick across this altar? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Great. Anybody else say, that's me, would you pray for me? Wonderful. Thank you for your courage. Online, you can pray this prayer with us. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. If you didn't lift your hand and wanted to, you can still pray this. It's a heart prayer. We're going to pray it with you. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Head still bowed. Father, thank You for those that prayed that prayer here and online. Thank You, Father, for the new life. Thank You for the restored life. Thank You for the forgiveness. Thank You for Your wonderful plans for them. We give You all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.